Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Welcome to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Answering your home improvement questions every Saturday on WPT. Presented by Charlotte Comfort Systems Heating and Air Conditioning and Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WPT.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doble.
Good morning, Dave Doble. How are you?
I'm not too bad. Good. Not sure how I sound. I'm coming from the Fort Mill studio this week, so first time using the app.
You sound like if you sang a song, everybody would think that Robert Goulet was on the other end. Wait, I just stated myself. Michael Bublé was on
there
the other end.
There you go. That's what I'm talking about.
As long as it's not Justin Bieber, you'll be okay. Welcome, everybody. It's the Thanksgiving edition, kind of Thanksgiving weekend. I hope everybody had an awesome week. We're here, headed headlong into the holiday season. It's going to go. I mean, everybody knows it's going to go screaming by. The next thing you know, we'll be talking about, hey, here's some things to be thinking about for the new year. So more than anything, David, I think our home improvement advice this year would be take a deep breath every chance you get, because it's going to be Katie bar the doors. And if you can't find the gift that you were looking for, oh, well, that's not necessarily what it's all about.
That's right. It'll be all right.
Yep. Hey, we're here to take calls, 704-570-1110. Lots of good things to talk about. We're going to talk about holiday prep. We'll talk about some things to do from a safety perspective, decorating, some just simple ideas about ways to make decorating easier year after year if you're going to kind of set the same sort of outside things up. We'll talk a couple of little tips, if you will, on that. We'll talk about some safety things. The product of the week, this is like the time of year that I just get excited. Barb and I, our Home Depot is like right in front of our church. So every Sunday after Mass, it's like hit the Home Depot. And man, I love this time of year because the aisles are packed. As an operations guy, you're out of your mind, right? Because you can't push a cart half the places you want to push a cart. But there's so much stuff. And this is a time of year that we'll talk about some good buys out there from a gift perspective, or if you're just taking care of your own like tool arsenal, if you will. So we'll talk about those things. We've got a bunch of tip of the week things, David. I thought this is the perfect time. Sometimes our holiday weekends are crazy busy with calls, and then sometimes they're just quiet. We'll be ready either way. But we'll talk about those kinds of things. And then as I was cruising through our tip of the week stuff, the archives, so to speak, I came across this tip from November 18th, 2006. And I don't know, maybe I should read it later in the show. Maybe we should close with it. But it's just some things. It was the Thanksgiving tip of the week. Mm-hmm. And it had everything to do with home improvement. And there were very few tools involved. Maybe we'll save it, and it might be a good holiday season tip of the week, because it's kind of in the spirit of the season that we wrote it, and I thought that was good. But there's a bunch of good tips out there. You know, I've been kind of cruising over them from week to week, because we've just had great calls and great topics, I know we were looking at 2006, and we still have several years after that. But I think the last one I got out there seriously, I pulled from August. So there's a few of them I put up here that I thought would be kind of cool to go over. And then naturally, we'll talk about whatever is important to our listeners at 704-570-1110. You know, you can always go to AskJohnAndDave.com and click on the questions button and send us a question that way and get information. I don't know, how did the mailbox look this week, David? I know you were up to your eyeballs and other things.
It was pretty slack. I thought maybe we would be getting a lot of last minute questions, and was pretty calm. I appreciate that. I'm a little under the weather this week, so it was a little break. That was kind of nice, but I'll certainly answer them if you send them.
Well, thank you for being hardcore and being here this morning, because I know you've had better mornings physically. So appreciate you doing this. I would suggest a long nap after this show.
That's what it's
long
been
nap.
For a couple of days now. So the flu is the flu,
good.
You know. So.
We've been on the road. We're in Wilmington still now, headed back today. But yesterday we drove down to Charleston from Wilmington. It's about a 3-hour drive, 3.5-hour drive. And so not a bad drive, really. And we all went down there because my sister and brother-in-law are down there. I'll tell you what, I love Charleston. I've always liked Charleston. It's kind of like
too.
The old South thing. It's just beautiful. But I believe, I'm pretty sure you could eat out of the garbage cans in Charleston, South Carolina, and have good food. That place is unbelievable.
Yeah, it's too good.
Yeah, and so
That's
we
why
enjoyed a great.
It's like Vegas. You can only go for a couple of days.
Yeah, you got to get back. Yeah, we did. My sister and brother are like, well, hey, stay. We'll do it. Like, we have to drive. But I mean, oh my gosh, the little like boutique hotels and things that are. It's just lovely. In fact, I probably shouldn't say that because I don't want it to be crowded the next time I go. It was a wonderful thing. It was awesome. So look, folks, we're going to talk about all kinds of different stuff this morning. Give us a call. We'll make sure we talk about what's important to you at 704-570-1110. Or remember, you can go to askjohnanddave.com and you can click on the questions button and send us a note that way. We're going to take a little break and we'll be back to answer your questions when we return to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon. And we're not picking up David. That's all right. We'll keep rocking and rolling. Folks, we have lines open this morning. We're at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. We said in our first segment, we talk about just some things with respect to holiday prep. It feels like, I don't know, I'm probably just getting older, channeling my father or something, but it feels like every year Christmas decorations go up earlier and earlier. I'm sure you weren't out in the chili this week hanging up Christmas decorations, but
no,
I mean,
we've got them all out.
you're ready to go. We talked to Ryan, my son-in-law's parents on Thanksgiving afternoon. Tom was out there hanging the Christmas decorations. I'm like, God bless you. But, there's a couple of things that I thought just to throw out there, David, that I think are just good ideas. If you truly do decorate, you may already know this. If this is your first house and you're thinking about, you know, seriously doing something, one of the things that I think would be just a really good plan is just think stainless steel, like kind of make your plan with stainless steel fasteners. And you can buy like hook eyes and different hooks and stuff like that in master packs of like 20, and it's not like super expensive, but go stainless steel. I think it just saves you big headaches. And then you have to, you can leave stuff up. Don't leave the decorations up, please. I'm not saying that. Although if you do, happy days. God bless you. Christmas spirit.
Well,
all year long.
You know, John, there's a company that's launched here in Charlotte. It's not anything new under the sun for installing decorations, but they're doing permanent LEDs, and so I think it's the strip lighting, and I think it's hidden.
Yep,
probably behind the fascia board would be my thought. Now
it's the red, green, blue, different.
Yeah, it's multicolors.
Wow, that makes great sense. Yeah,
and you probably can do it all from a phone app, and one and once and done. But you know, I would think maybe some of the problems with that might be that your painter's smart enough not to paint over them. If it's hidden that well, they may not even see it. So you know, that would be one of the things. But if you have a permanent type of soffit, vinyl or something like that, aluminum, what a great concept.
That is a great idea. I have threatened, and it was on my project list this year, and I just didn't do it, to change out. We have some landscape lighting in the back, and I wanted to add some stuff back beyond the fence and put, you know, just spots on a couple trees. And you can do all that stuff now with LED. They sip electricity. You don't feel like you're being, you know, environmentally unsound by doing it. But it is the LED with the different light changes and stuff like that. Depending on the season of the year, you can really, without doing anything, change the look. Right? It can be holiday. Right. It can be whatever. So great products out there. I mean, not sure what we did before all the LED technology. I mean, I guess we were just boring. I don't know. Christmas was okay still. I still liked it. Anyway, so that's just something to think about. But I think maybe David, the message is just like planning a little bit. You know, we get great. Our callers are awesome. You know, from novice to like super expert and professionals. But we get a lot of questions of people who are just thinking through planning pieces of it. And if you're going to do a nice job with this, with the Christmas decorations, I say, you know, plan it. You don't need to be the Griswolds, but
I like the idea of the stainless fasteners or hangers. No matter what it is, even if it's just if you were using a ceramic coated deck screw, but something that won't corrode,
something's not going to rust. Exactly.
Yeah. And then I think the other thing that we should probably add, and I think every year we do mention this to folks, is just be careful out there while you're doing it. Spend $40 or $50. I'm not sure how much they are right now, but a ladder stabilizer.
Yes.
That makes that ladder, instead of making it 18 inches at the top, it's now 4 feet wide. Very little chance that you would ever roll that ladder over. Tends to cause less damage because it distributes the weight across whatever you're leaning it against. A lot of times you can actually put it up onto the roof.
And let the roof kind of hold it in spot.
That holds it. That gets you up higher. You're not reaching. It kind of puts you at eye level with your gutters. And then another attachment for a ladder that I like, John, is the adjustable legs.
When you're not on even ground.
Exactly. And it's much better than trying to stack some 2x4s or plywood or something up. You adjust those and it locks in place and, you know, it can give you several inches on either side of the ladder if you need it. And just want to keep you safe. You might have a pretty house, but be bad if you weren't there to enjoy it.
Yeah. Looking up at it from your back is not the best, best view.
Exactly.
So here's a crazy idea. This, I've always wanted to do this, but I've never had a legitimate reason to do it. Go rent one of those mini cherry picker things. You know, Home Depot rents those things.
I know. I rented one for 3 months. I could have bought it when I was building the house.
Yeah, where are you going to put it? Well, I had to build a shed for my new... That's how it begins, David. That's how the insanity begins. But I always did want, I wanted to rent one of those. Our lot is like all slopey. I would never trust myself moving that thing from point A to point B. I'd be calling back up, say, how do you tip this back up? But that's an option. It'd be cool. Maybe you go in with your neighbors and you decorate two houses in a day. I don't know. Anyway, those are all good things. To think about. The other piece that we probably should address is just the electrical safety. And I love to talk about innovative products. I get all these crazy magazines, right? And there are some really cool things in there. Some of them are great, but it's just like, yeah, that's nice, but who cares? But one of the things, and this isn't like new under the sun. These things have been out there, but you really want to be plugged into GFI outlets if you're outside the house, right? And depending on the age of your house, you may or may not have that. This is the perfect time to do a couple things. Number one is you can just replace an outside outlet if you're not sure and put a GFI in there. Like if you've got a GFI breaker and you trip it and it doesn't kill that outlet, just put a GFI breaker in there. Of course, you got to have a good ground and so on. But as long as the house was built post 60 something, you're probably in good shape. But put a different GFI breaker in there. Or the other thing, David, this is a really good time to go out and update your exterior boxes, right? Because if you've got the old flip up, flip down that has a little neoprene seal, and it's just a flat, protector against the outlet, it really should be the bubble box, right? Where you can plug a cord in and it still comes down and keeps the weather off of it. It's not hard to replace those. This would be a good time. Just do one this year and do one next year.
They are kind of how I. And if you're a quick tip, if you need a GFI out there, but you don't have the receptacle, you can buy a plug.
Boom.
The cord is for an extension cord. They usually use them on construction sites, but you plug that into the outlet, and the GFI is on the end of it, and then you plug all your other cords into that. And now you are protected without having to touch the electrical system on the house.
It's almost like, David, we've done this together for 20 plus years, because the next line in my outline says GFI Husky $14 single tap. I forget the other one, triple tap for like less than 30 bucks.
What a great
integral
deal.
It's yes, integral.
And it's,
yeah.
And it's mobile, so you can use it at any outlet, or if you're going camping or whatever, you can always have one with you. So pretty smart, pretty inexpensive investment.
And then we're going to get close to a break here. So I should remind folks, I'm sorry. We will just talk for 2 hours if you let us. 704-570-1110. 704-570-1110 is a number. Gives a shout. We're happy to talk about anything that makes sense to y'all. If you're still in a food coma, chill, that's fine. We'll catch up with you. Send us an email at askjohnanddave.com. Click on the questions button, and we'll tackle it that way. Just say, I was comatose, but I want to know whatever it is. Send us the information. Look, we are going to come close to a break coming up. We want to talk a little bit about some extension cord safety while we're on the topic. And then I want to dig into some cool products that might be great Christmas presents, and really do a deeper dive into our tips of the week from the past, because there's some really cool stuff out there. And it's just good to tee it back up again and talk about those things. Most importantly, we want to talk about what's important to you. So give us a shout. We have lines open at 704-570-1110. We'll talk to you when we return to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Welcome back, everybody. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doble.
And we are wide open, got lines open, taking calls at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. Also can go to askjohnanddave.com, click on the questions button, send us a note that way, and we'll talk about home improvement via email if that's more helpful for you. Before we go into just some safety things, a couple interior and a couple exterior safety things, particularly with respect to extension cords, I wanted to take a tip of the week because I want to sneak a few of these in. This one, David, this one says a flush beats a full house. Playing poker. And let's see, when your project's around the house, having the right tools, half the battle. That's important to say that, because when you reach for a tool to deal with a clogged toilet, usually it's a plunger. But if you want to get the most out of taking the plunge, who writes these things? You should choose the plunger carefully. The traditional cup plunger is fine, but with the application of a little physics, even the plunger has improved. Whoa, this is in 2006, and we thought it was improved. Next time you're in the home improvement store looking for plumbing, look in the plumbing department for a plunger, look for the one that has an accordion cup on the end. It's the one where the cup can be compressed because it's pleated. The trick to this plunger is simple. Before you use the plunger, you fill up the cup with water. You don't turn it upside down. You just stick it in the bowl, compress it, force out the air, and let water in gently. Then when you use the plunger, the principle of hydraulics takes over. Every high school physics teacher will tell you that gases can be compressed, but fluids cannot be compressed, liquids. The translation of that for the plunger means that the traditional cup plunger, air and water are in the cup, and when you push down, the compressed air absorbs some of the force you will exert. When you push down the accordion type plunger, because it's filled with water, it will not compress. Virtually all the force you exert is transferred to the clog, allowing you to free the toughest of clogs. Well, I don't know if the toughest of clogs is true. Who does write these? Anyway, there you have it. Physics really can. There you have it. Physics really can get things moving. Pun intended. Oh, that person should be fired. Cut his pay. All right. So there you go. Pick the right plunger. If that's your gift idea this year, okay. But like romance will not be on top of your list.
Right.
Buy tools. That tools are very romantic.
Now there are all kinds of plungers out there now though that are air assisted, and have you seen all those that are
No. So always at the end of the we ask, is this still relevant? So get us what's more
it's still relevant. It's still the simplest, it's the best thing, it's the most unobtrusive. You can rinse it off and put it in the closet, and you know, it's always nice to have one in the bathroom or nearby, so people will be able to grab a hold of it and save them some embarrassment.
Yeah, there you go. Well, so what is the air assist versions?
They just have ones that you pump, that you know, you stick a device down in there and you shoot a shot of air down in there, but it's really nothing new under the sun. It's the same principle as the cup plunger. And by the way, that they work better too, because it goes down into the trap and tends to seal, and to where the ones you can, when you fold that piece in on those types of plungers, then you can use it on a flat sink.
Ah, there you go. Okay.
So it's versatile, and it goes both ways. So they work very, very well.
All right, there we go. So so here in the holiday season, yeah, we could go to a lot of bad places there. The plunger. Yeah, we've dealt with the plunger, and we're going to leave it that alone. We do still have lines open at 704-570-1110. Give us a call. We've got plenty to talk about, but if it's something more relevant for you, you got to tell us. Otherwise, we'll just keep charging down our little path.
Let's do a quick email, we think.
Okay, all right.
We got an email from our friend John White over at White Electric.
Oh yeah, yeah.
John says happy Thanksgiving, and he's getting ready to have his driveway and sidewalks torn out and re-poured with new concrete. He said he's always heard that you should wait at least 2 weeks to use them to drive a vehicle on. His contractor told him should worry about it. He'd have to wait a few days because he adds calcium to the concrete, which speeds up the curing process. And he wanted to know what our opinion was on that, and what did we think about wire in the concrete. The calcium that's correct. It'll speed it up, and the cure will be a little bit faster. So I still would stay off of it myself, but I don't know all the exact science in it, John, but we do know that calcium does speed it up, and that's done for some multiple reasons. And then of course you don't have to use wire anymore. Like, you can have them add fiberglass.
Right.
The problem with wire is a lot of times it never gets pulled up into the center of the concrete. So that what it is they lay a wire welded mesh out that's 4x4 or 6x6 squares, and as you're pouring the concrete, you have to stick a rake in there and lift up you want to get that in the center, unless you drive pins and fasten that to it, which it's hard to do because you're walking on it. So yeah, it tends to smash it down. So I'm kind of a big proponent of the fiberglass. It's mixed in at in the truck when they're pouring it, and it is throughout, and it's just strands of fiberglass. Yeah, you have your slabs a little bit fuzzy at first, but eventually it wears off.
Yeah, and it's definitely
Go ahead.
I'm sorry to
And I think the last thing is if I'm pouring a new driveway, I'm going to go ahead and buy some cure and seal and have it on hand. So the next day after they pour, I'm going to mop this stuff on the entire concrete driveway, sidewalk. It's going to do a couple things. It seals it, but it's what it does is it seals the moisture into the concrete and doesn't allow it to evaporate as fast. And that, my friends, is what makes concrete better. When the longer the water can stay in it, the better it is. And that keeps you from having to stay out there and mist it all week and keep wetting it down, because that's really the best concrete that cures when it's wet the entire time.
Keeps getting slowly. Very good. Mm-hmm. All right. Believe it or not, we got to sneak into, we snuck past. We went right past the break. We'll take a little break here, and then we'll be back. Give us a call. We're at 704-570-1110. We'll chat when we return to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon. And
I'm Dave Doval.
There it is.
Sorry, I keep muting and I forget I have to mute it back. Unmute.
No, that's good. We're good. We're all good. So before we go into a couple things on safety, I do want to talk about some products, and we'll talk about them next hour. We'll take a deeper dive. But this is a great time of year where, you know, I like to talk about a product of the week from the Home Depot. They sponsor our show. I work there. They sponsor my life. and so I like to share things that I think are, you know, without being biased, just great things. And when I thought about product of the week, like, I can't decide. It's Christmas time. I think the combo kits are awesome. There's this whole line of brushless technology for rigid. They've got a cordless, battery powered octane router. Just check them out. But I think the combo kits are the way to think about things. If you're just starting out, getting your arsenal built, it's a great way to go. If you're thinking about a gift for somebody that's a home improvement, a new home improver, or even a seasoned home improver, because all the different manufacturers have stuff out there. But if you have somebody just starting out, or if you want to have something that has, I think, the greatest breadth of options, consider the Ryobi combo packs. You can get something as inexpensive as $99. This is just a great starter kit, but you've got the OnePlus technology. It fits all kinds of things, not just, you know, power tools for the shop, but outside, exterior tools and devices. You can go all the way up to $649, and you have a combo kit that, if you laid everything out on the floor or in a single plane, it would be big enough to have its own zip code. So I say go check those things out. We'll talk a little bit more about accessories. This is the time of year, David, that I buy all my saw blades, all my, all the bits that I left laying on the job site or dropped between the boards of the deck, will never to be seen again, whatever. This is the time of year because you just got great prices on all those things. So anyway, that's a product conversation, and we'll take a deeper dive into some of the other things as we get into the second hour. But I thought it would be smart, and we may choose to repeat some of this stuff second hour also, David, but just extension cord safety. I feel like we talk about it maybe not a lot, but certain times of year we talk about it, but I just think it makes sense to have a minute on that right now. And one of the things, maybe we always like to say, okay, simple, solve your problem from the most simple to the most complex, right? But think about this. Before we talk about extension cord safety, if you're always running the same extension cord for the same reason, should you consider adding an electrical box? Call an electrician. It's not a do-it-yourself job. I mean, in a certain sense it is, but it's not supposed to be. What should people think about, David, if they say, well, maybe I just want to put an extra box out here and then I can plug stuff directly in?
Well, I think you're I think you're exactly right. I think it's not a do-it-yourself a project. It's just simply because it's technically illegal. Now you can do it yourself if you're willing to go get the permit and take a small test. Mm-hmm. They will allow you to do your own electrical work, but they want you to have some basic understanding. So you would have to sit down and take a test. But by the time you do all that, wouldn't it be simpler just to hire someone?
I think so.
Is probably the answer. And they're familiar with the codes and what needs to happen. And, you know, do you need to make a home run back to the panel? How do you protect it? Do you put in a breaker or do you put in a GFI receptacle? You know, that receptacle also has to be WP weatherproof, and it mm-hmm. also has to be TR, tamper resistant now. So if you don't know those types of things, you're probably better off to hire someone. And sometimes you can hire an electrician and they'll allow you to do the work and they'll inspect your work for you. So there's some ways around that as well, but be safe with it. That's for sure.
As hard as it is to find people in the trades who have time to do some of those, especially those smaller jobs, it may not be bad to say, hey, come out, take a look, this is what I'm going to do. And if you can give me, you know, 15 minutes on the front end and 15 minutes on the back end for a fee, you know, I'll do the rest. And now you're legal and legit.
Yeah, exactly.
It makes me think of one other question. I was reading an article. I don't even remember where I was reading it. And it said, add that sub panel now, was the headline of the article, right? And so it was suggesting that as you think about whether it's, you know, adding some outlets in the garage or finishing a basement or whatever, it says add that sub panel now, which is basically pulling power off of your existing panel into a sub panel and then running, you know, circuits from there. What are your thoughts on that, David?
I'm sorry, what was in the...
So running a sub panel. It was suggesting that more often than not, you should run a sub panel before you just start adding outlets and stuff like that. What do you think? Or is that an electrician decision?
It all depends on space in your existing panel. So a sub panel is a way to add space to an existing panel. Essentially, all they're doing is they're adding they're removing a breaker. And they're adding a new panel, installing a larger breaker, and then moving that other breaker that they took out into the new panel, and then they're creating space in the new panel without having to take the entire panel off of the wall, disconnecting it from the electric company. So it's a cheaper way to do it, and it's a cheaper way to expand the number of spaces that you need, because a lot of times you may have capacity amp wise, but you're out of breaker space. And so that's one of the ways that you can do it. And it's probably the most inexpensive way that you can do it.
Okay. So you say, yeah, makes sense, but that also is an electrician job, right?
Yeah, that's definitely an electrician job. And I mean, if you're real handy, the same thing, you know, if an electrician's willing to come and inspect it and they know that you have the skills to be able to do it, then, you know, you may be able to do it that way, but most likely you're going to need to hire someone and get that taken care of properly.
Cool. All right. Then just quickly to the extension cord safety piece of it. I think one of the things that we frequently talk about running long extension cords where you've got tools and things involved, you do have to consider like voltage drop and the impact on equipment that you'd be running, but the whole idea of size matters and the right type of exterior extension cord is super critical. It's interesting, this work that I've done with Chris on the on our investment property, which by the way, David, we finished this week. It's done.
Nice.
Alas, nice. But I had a chance to kind of look at some different things in the area, and people have stuff run outside using just brown, like 18 gauge extension cords, mm-hmm. as wiring for outside stuff. And it just doesn't make sense. So do your due diligence, use an exterior cord. Size does matter. step it up. Don't run a, I mean, you're probably not going to burn the house down depending on the application, but don't run a, you know, a 14 gauge or a 12 gauge extension cord off of an 18 gauge extension cord or something crazy like that. So
exactly,
we'll take a little deeper dive into that, and then also talk about more tips of the week, more products of the week, and we'll answer questions that you might have. We've got lines open. We're at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110, or askjohnanddave.com. Click on the questions button. We're going to take our big break at the top of the hour here, and then we'll be back to talk about what might be important to you and share a Thanksgiving tip of the week when we return to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave.
Welcome to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave, answering your home improvement questions every Saturday on WPT. Presented by Charlotte Comfort Systems Heating and Air Conditioning and Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WPT.
Welcome back. It's hour number two, the Home Depot Home Improvement Show. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doble.
Give us a shout. We've got lines open. We're at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. You can also go to askjohnanddave.com, click on the questions button, and get a question to us that way, and we can get a minute to give you an answer. Let's see. I think I just lost the tip of the week that I wanted to pull up here. Go with the flow. We recommend flushing out your water heater on a regular basis. In addition to this maintenance, there are little things that come up in the plumbing around your house. Simple. So look, this talks about two things, David. It talks about, and I think we had a call on this maybe a couple weeks ago. One was, one of the things it talks about is just flushing the water heater once a year, leaving, you know, turning off the electricity or turning the gas down to vacation or whatever, and leaving the inlet cold water open and attaching a quality hose to the drain at the bottom and running the flushing it out, just totally flushing it and getting all the sediment out of the bottom, right?
Right.
Then the other thing that this talks about, that this tip talks about, is if there's a reduced flow, it just at specific faucets, it talks about cleaning out the tip, the aerator. Aerators actually have evolved a fair amount in whatever this is, 16 years, 15 years, right? Because especially in the kitchen now, we're talking about many, many, many pull-down versions versus the old rigid spout. So a little bit more to deal with there, but the principles are the same as far as just catching the debris that gets up, caught up in the screen, right?
Yes, ideally. And then I think we had this question a couple of weeks ago on air when someone was trying to change their aerator or at least clean it out, and they couldn't figure out how to get it off because sometimes the aerator is recessed into the spout, and it takes a special little plastic tool that you have to buy. Kind of reminds me of a crown if you look at it. And anyway, you have to stick this little device. It's round with little notches in it, and it goes
kind of like
inside
gear engagement. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And anyway, you stick that up in the aerator, and that's how you're able to remove it. There's a couple of different colors. I suggest when you go to the store, unless you know exactly which one it is, you go ahead and buy them. I think there's a yellow and a blue, and they're just, it's just a different notch size. So they're not very much, maybe $3 or $4. Have them on hand, and then put them someplace where you know where they're at. But pull them out, that you can loosen them and then reinstall the aerators with the little tool.
So that's, we have to come up with that tip, David. We need to come up with a tip for all the things that you now need to have, and you put them somewhere so you know where they are the next time you need one.
Exactly. Well, yeah. So a little thing that I've done through the years is when I put in faucets for people, anything like that, most of the time, all those little tools come with the faucet. So yep. What I do is a lot of times I'll tape the model number of the faucet underneath the cabinet on the sidewall. So I stick that, and then I'll maybe stick all the tools that come with it in a baggie, and then either staple it or tape it to the inside of the cabinet, just kind of up and out of the way. You can see it there, but it kind of makes it nice. But if you have the model number, at least in there, they can look it up and find the manual and figure out, you know, that they need a certain tool to do this, or you need this, or if you need to replace a cartridge. It's kind of helpful.
And I don't know how we lived without 2D barcodes and UPC, you know, barcodes. But for my filters, I have the UPC barcode, and you can download a free app to read a barcode and scan it, and boom, there you have the information. We just went through this as I packed up everything from finishing up this house, packing up all the tools and all the parts and stuff like that. There is one container that has all the little, you know, the what do you call it, the shark bite release, little orange.
Sure.
I've drawn a blank on what I should even call those. I don't even know if they have a name. But you really do.
It's a
removal tool. There you go. Those just take a minute. And maybe, I don't know, maybe I'll take a minute to think about that and just put my OCD hat on and think about how do you organize all those things. Because I can't tell you, this is going to sound terrible, but it's true. When I was working in our stores and somebody would buy caulk, I'd ask them, do you need a caulk gun? And they'd be like, no, I got a caulk gun at home. My second question was always, and do you know where it is? And then I would sell a caulk gun.
Right.
All right. We've got James popping up here. Let's do this. We're going to be right up against the break. James, we definitely want to talk to you. Looks like an awesome question, and folks are going to want to hear what's going on. We're just right up against the break, so we're going to take it. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. We're going to talk to James and you when we return from these important messages. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon. And David is officially on the mute button, and now he's off. James, thank you for waiting through the break. You're on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. How can we help you this morning?
Yes, I got got the mold, and it's a 20-year-old house mold, and it's a McGee Brother house. I'm having a really problem finding the baseboard, not the mold, it's baseboard that they put in, because I got a couple pieces. I'm redoing the master bath, long story short. There's two questions. I need to know where I can find that baseboard that matches, and I got the floors, Tybee Island flooring that I put down, and my wife, of course, wants the quarter round that goes with it, but it says they're out of stock online, so where can I find my that's kind of a tough question.
Well, not necessarily, but I'm unsure exactly what part you're looking for, James. So you're looking for a quarter round that matches the flooring that you put down?
Yeah, that's what she wants. Tybee Island.
Well,
but I didn't mean to cut you off, but I need baseboard. 20-year-old baseboard of McGee House, and I can't find it. I need to match it. Do you have any ideas where Mike could find the baseboard?
Do you have a piece of it as a sample?
Yes, I do.
David, I'm thinking that like the building center, who else could help James match a particular or maybe a more unusual profile, WM? Any ideas? David may still be on mute. David, are you there? Okay. So I think one of the places, where is home for you, James? Where do you live?
I live in Harrisburg.
Okay. They used to have a place on the north side. The building center would be a place that we would direct you for some more unusual profiles of wood trim. I don't know. I found a place in Atlanta. You don't want to drive to Atlanta, but usually there's a lumber yard or an old timey lumber yard or a place that's going to deal with all the trim. And you can typically get particular profiles there. Sometimes there used to be a place up in the university area, I think, that would actually produce the molding for you. It wasn't inexpensive, but if you needed a match, they would do that. I don't know if they're still up there, and B, I don't recall the name of them.
That would be an option. I would do that. She's wanting the baseboard that match, you know, throughout the house, and I get that. I really do.
I do too. I'm a little bit looser in that regard. In that, like when we redid our master bath, ultimately, you know what? I think she's right, because ultimately we made all the baseboard match. We just did it one room at a time, and there was a period of time when what I had in the master bath didn't match the master bedroom, and so on and so forth. But as I redid each room, then we redid the baseboards. But I think, David, are you back with us? Is there a place, I want to tell you, remember that there was a place up by university would actually cut, you know, would put the blades together and produce a profile molding for you.
Right.
Or am I just like having
flashbacks? No, still some custom places out there. There used to be a guy that did, it was called Odds and Ends, and he produced all custom moldings, and he actually worked for several of the lumber yards. I'm wondering, is the molding a two-piece molding?
No.
It's a one-piece, and
it's about 5 3/4 inch tall.
A speed base.
Sounds like speed base.
It's called speed base, so... do you have a piece of it left?
Yeah, he does.
Yes, I do.
Okay. That's what I would do then, is go to the building center or Matthews Building Supply or Builders First Source. Some of those folks might be able to help you. If they can't, they probably have someone that can help you make the molding. Now, it's going to be a ridiculous amount of money to do it. So what you may want to think about doing is just taking that molding and putting something very similar to it in that room. The only one that will ever know will be you and your wife.
And therein lies the problem.
That's the problem, my wife. That is the problem. See, I'm with just changing it, but no, it's got to be the same throughout the
house. Yeah. No, I sort of get that. But you know what, David, I think you're right. James, if you take that, I think that the building center is probably the best first place to start, just because they'll probably have some recommendations for who can do that. But the other thing that they can do is give you a profile, and they can probably give you a 3-inch, 6-inch piece of it to take back and show your wife. And to David's point, if it has a little plowing that's ever so slightly different, but fundamentally, you'd have to be, you know, in the business for 30 years to notice a difference at any kind of look.
Exactly.
That might be an acceptable solution where she looks at it and says, yeah, when I look at that and I look at that, they're fundamentally the same, and I'm okay with that.
Well, and it's $10-15 a foot will make you realize that that's not as important as you think it is.
Yeah, and I'm with you. I just don't know if I can convince her. But okay, that's good information. I appreciate it. But here's the other question. Quarter round for Tybee Island 4. Do you know where I can find that?
I'll run down there and see if I can find you some.
Yeah, that's the place we like to go to the beach.
We love that beach.
Oh, yeah, it's awesome. That's the name of the floor, and she's wanting quarter round that goes with it.
I've had pretty good luck at Home Depot matching up floors. They have kind of I don't know what color scheme that's in, but we did one not long ago and found it at Home Depot for some transition strips.
Oh, really? That's good. Okay, great information, guys. Y'all are really good.
It's a.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Well, just for the record, James, it's a Mohawk product. Tybee Island is actually a Mohawk product, right? So anywhere, any distributor that carries Mohawk product should be able to get that for you.
Randy over Empire Carpet and Empire Blinds, they have it. Empire Carpet and Blinds in Pineville is across from, it's right next to Ferguson Plumbing.
I know exactly where that's at. Okay. Guys, awesome show. Thank you for all the information. I didn't mean to keep you so long, but I really see if I can get this. The baseboard's a big problem. Well, both of them are. Like I said, my wife is pretty particular.
Good. That's a compliment to you, James.
It is a good thing sometimes. Sometimes it's not so good, but like I said, we're older, you know, we're not going anywhere. So we want everything right. You know what I mean? It means.
Yep.
It's got to match. So thanks for all the information, guys. Appreciate the show. Great show. Thank you so much.
Glad to have you call, James. Stay safe.
Bye.
All right. James is on the hunt for some stuff. He's got a couple things. I think that actually the Tybee Island will be easier for him to find than a particular plowing on the.
I really think once they get into the search on the baseboard, they'll find something very close, and they'll be able to. She'll be able to live with it because you really. Yeah. I mean, you know, there's more important things in life to be concerned about than the baseboard's off a 16th of an inch. And that actually can change through time because they tend to change the cutters. You know, and I've seen moldings that look the same, but you get them and they're not. It's not the same. So it looks like it's the same, but it changes.
The dimensions, the profile is the same, and the dimensions are off ever so slightly. A 32nd of an inch is enough to make a difference when you're trying to butt mold.
Yes, absolutely.
Right? Molding. And,
it makes you look like you don't know what you're doing.
Right, and there's enough ways for me to come up with that I don't need to add that issue. So it's like... all right. So, folks, we have some lines open. We're at 704-570-1110. We were talking about extension cord safety. We're not going to beat that dead horse. But I do want to talk about it also because it comes up. It's inside. We had just a real cold spat here. I don't know what it was like in Charlotte, David, but we were into the high 20s in Atlanta and into the very low 30s, high 20s in Wilmington, which is unusual for this neck of the woods. But that people bust out the auxiliary heaters, and I have a concern that as the cost of heating fuels, be that natural gas or LP or even oil, and mostly that's up in the Northeast. But as those things get more expensive, you know, going into the heating season, the people will be busting out the auxiliary heaters and things like that. And just want to remind people, never run an auxiliary heater off an extension cord, period, under discussion. Just plug it directly into an outlet and be done with it. There's nothing else. We could tell you all kinds of things. And you are responsible for your own home and safety, but at the end of the day, that would be our best advice, I think. David, yeah, I don't know. Maybe I just went a little hyperbole on that, but
no. Well, we don't want to lose any listeners, so
no,
it's hard enough to get them.
Yeah. So go ahead.
I say maybe when we come back, we can answer a question for Deborah who wants to talk about mildew on her grout.
All right. All right, we'll do that. So we've got another tip of the week coming up. We've got a product of the week coming up. We want to talk about a mildew on grout for Deborah. We've got some great ideas on gifts and some recommendations for how to save money if you are either a consummate do-it-yourselfer or a professional. And it's just some specials or things going on around this time of year. And then we'll do our Thanksgiving tip of the week. Maybe we'll give ourselves a few extra minutes at the end of the show and kind of read through that because I think as I look at it, it makes some good sense. So don't go away. Grab a cup of coffee. Get ready. We're going to take a break now, and we'll be back to answer more questions when we return to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doble.
704-570-1110. 704-570-1110. David, I want to do, well, you want to do a tip of the week or a product of the week? Let's do a product of the week.
Okay.
Because I want to save this tip of the week for the end. It's a little bit longer, but it's good, I think, in my humble opinion.
No, it is good. I remember it.
We were talking, this is just a good time of year, from a product of the week. I can't decide. So like marketing people would be mad at me because I can't decide. I'm just going to tell you, check out the Ryobi combo kits. They start as low as like $99. You can go all the way up to $649 with, kits, with batteries and chargers and different tools and stuff. I think if I was going to recommend one, I would say there's a kit out there for $199. It's got six tools and it includes one of the products of the week that we talked about way back in the spring, the electrostatic sprayer. And you think, well, what do I need that for? A lot of different things. It became very, very popular with COVID, right? Because people were using cleaners and it was a very effective way to protect all the surfaces versus just whatever was in front of the sprayer. But we've talked about different applications for mold and so on. And I don't want to forget about, I forget the lady's name with the mold and the grout tip. We'll go there. And then if you want to step it up a little bit, you know, I'm a big fan. All my tool, I shouldn't say that. I picked up a DeWalt thing a couple weeks ago, but my arsenal is like all rigid tools. I love the lifetime service agreement. You can get those, a simple one at $119 all the way up to $349, maybe a little bit more. My recommendation would be a basic four tool set for about $349 if you want to be into that. And then accessories, man, this is the time. I don't think I buy a saw blade, maybe like a couple extra flex tool blades. It's just because you can never have enough of those. But like I don't buy saw blades for my table saw, for my miter saw, all my accessories, all that stuff I buy this time of year because like the deals are awesome. Like they get you the packages and you get two blades for the price of one or three blades for the price of two. There's just a lot of good stuff out there. I could never keep it all straight. Just go shop and find it. It's like awesome. So anyway,
yeah,
so there, that's
deals.
That's
great deals right now and all that stuff. Hey, I wanted to go back to the electrostatic
email.
Sprayer.
Oh, okay. Okay. Go ahead.
Real quick. And people probably were asking, as you said, you know, what would I use that for? You know, I don't need to spray my house for COVID or whatever. You would be amazed at what you can do with that thing for cleaning. Just if you're outside cleaning and you're spraying something, the beauty of the electrostatic is that it does not stack up on top of each other. So when you spray, it covers everything, and then it would go around on areas that were not touched. It clings to the whole surface. And the other place it's great is if you have plants that you're trying to spray. When we spray our vegetables or flowers or whatever, maybe you're putting some type of a fungicide and you want to spray it. Well, not only will it spray the top of the leaf of what you see, but it goes underneath the leaf, which is very cool because you now cover everything, especially if you're trying to get rid of aphids or something like that.
Yep. I didn't even think about the insecticide aspect of it. Definitely the cleaning.
Neat.
Right?
Neat.
Yeah.
Very
that's
neat.
Incredible.
Very neat product.
Didn't think about that.
Yes.
Awesome. All right. And then I think we wanted to go to an email with some mildew in the grout, right?
Yeah. So Debbie had written in that she had a tile done in her bathroom some time back, and they used a grout that was supposed to be mildew resistant. And it probably was for a good while. And then after we spray products on them to clean, eventually what it does is it breaks that down. And now what's happened is the mold roots have gotten back into the grout, and she's not able to get it clean. So she was wanting to know if there was something better than, you know, like a Tilex or, you know, a bleach or whatever to spray on there. That's the problem, is that when you first spray it, you probably don't see it when you're done cleaning, and then it's back in 2 or 3 days or a week. That's because we haven't killed the roots. So really the best thing that you can do when you get into that situation is it's time for a new grout job. And she did say a line. So I'm wondering, John, if it's the line either at the shower base and the tile wall, or is it at the tub line in the shower wall or the tile wall? So if so, that should really be caulked versus a grout.
And that's that I would, well, I shouldn't say, I would suspect that that's probably the case, because that's where the water is most prone to sit and be, you know, the ripe scenario for, or a scenario that's ripe for mildew growing. And then I think your rule has always been, and the rule is, wherever two different materials meet, the idea would be caulk versus rigid joint, right?
That's what the tile folks tell us, and that's what's in all the books that are out there. So yeah, so a good caulk. You want to clean that joint, and remember, it's a caulking and regrouting is a maintenance item. It's not a permanent. It's really not a permanent situation. You can go a really long time with grout in a shower, especially when it's up off of the floor, the higher portions. But the areas that tend to get the wettest and stay wet are probably going to bleach out any additives that are put into the grout eventually, and it's going to lose its ability to fight off the mold. So you're going to have to take that grout out, regrout or recaulk, and then of course don't forget to seal the grout. Even if it tells you don't need to seal it, I still seal it anyway.
Perfect.
And we're in the same situation at our house right now. We've already got a line at the bottom that starting to attract a little mold. So we're going to have to do something about it.
All right. We're going to take a little break here. I'll make sure Chris is cool. So this is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. We're going to take a little break. We'll be back to answer your questions when we return after these important messages.
News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT, a century of Charlotte's news.
Making Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
And we're going to bring in for your listening pleasure, Gene. Good morning, Gene. You're on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show. How are you today?
Oh, crud.
Hey, Gene.
Hello.
Hey, are you there?
Yes.
How can we help?
Hello?
Hello? We're not hearing Gene, or Gene's not hearing us. Gene, are you hearing us?
I think she came up.
Okay. I think Gene might have been multitasking.
All right. We'll have her go again.
Yeah. Let's we'll see if she we'll see if she calls back. I had a terrible thought. Remember the gentleman who was multitasking? This is several years ago, and he was in the middle of his question, and the toilet flushed in the background. Do you remember that? I shouldn't have brought that up.
I wonder if Chris captured that soundbite.
I don't know. I don't know. That was funny. I don't think I've been close to losing it in 27 years, but I might have gotten close at that point, losing it on the air. All right. So we do have some lines open, 704-570. Looks like Gene's going to try to get back in here. We'll give her a second to get connected and see what's going on. I do want to wrap up, but we'll stop taking calls a little bit early, just because I think that I want to just go through this one tip of the week that we put out there, whatever that was, whatever 2006 was, 15 years ago, 16 years ago, and we'll make a decision whether we think it's still relevant. If it's still a relevant discussion or not. Let's see if we can get Gene back on here now. Gene, good morning again. You're on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show. How can we help?
Oh, I'm glad you're there, guys. I need some direction.
Okay.
I told my husband I wanted a weed eater for Christmas, I want a blower, and I want a pressure washer.
Yes.
And I want them to all be battery operated, and I didn't know whether there was any product out there mm-hmm. that would use the same battery.
I'm not sure about the pressure washer part of it, but you can get the weed eater, a blower, a do-it-yourself manicure set. That's goofing off. Ryobi One Plus. Ryobi One Plus would be what you're looking for. There's an 18-volt solution. It's got 18-volt battery. We were talking earlier, Gene, about combo kits. There's a Ryobi One Plus combination kit that has a blower, a weed eater, three batteries, a charger, and a lawnmower for $429. So, and then there's all kinds of versions. Like if you don't want the lawnmower, fine. My son-in-law bought the lawnmower, and he's one of those guys that like reads for hours and hours and hours every conceivable thing online. So my sense is that when he makes a decision to purchase something, it's probably pretty well thought out, and he loves the thing. But if you don't need a lawnmower, fine. But I would look at the Ryobi One Plus, because that's where you have the most affordable and best like performance, a combination of both price point and performance.
Okay. So what about the pressure washer?
So, David, I'm not aware of a battery powered pressure washer. Are you?
I am
not.
Yeah, so they
bought one. I'm not sure whether it was Home Depot. It was one of the big box, hardware stores.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Okay, I stand corrected. You can get a 40-volt, 1,500 PSI Ryobi pressure washer. The reason I didn't see it initially was because I was looking at the 18-volt. Now, I own a 40-volt weed eater, and with the right twine in there, I'm pretty sure I could cut a tree down. But I have a pretty big lot that needs, edging and stuff like that. And I will get 3, sometimes 4 weeks of edging out of one charge on the 40-volt weed eater. But you may have to step up to 40-volt. Mm-hmm. What I don't know, Gene, is what all is available. So I rest my case. I think go look at the Ryobi products is probably your best bet.
That sounds great.
The only thing I'm not sure of is the pressure washer is going to require a 40-volt battery. I know that there's a weed eater that uses that same 40-volt battery. And then there's got to be a blower that uses the 40-volt battery as well. And so that would be, instead of the One Plus, then I think you would use the 40-volt solution. But again, it's the same battery, same manufacturer, same charger.
Oh, that's great.
Let me see. I was going to look for a blower.
In your opinion, would it be a weed eater that wouldn't be too heavy?
There is a blower. The weed eater is not too heavy. I use the 40-volt weed eater. It's definitely manageable. There is a 40-volt brushless blower. So that's your answer. Go Ryobi 40-volt. You'll get a blower, a weed eater, and a pressure washer, all operating on the same battery.
Great. Okay. Well,
life is good, isn't it, Gene?
You guys just make it so much better.
We didn't do this. This is Thank Ryobi, TTI.
Okay, well, thank you guys. I appreciate you being there and giving me some guidance.
We are glad to help. We're glad for the call, Gene. Have a great one.
Oh, yeah. Happy holidays to you.
Thanks, and to you, Gene. Bye. All right, Gene is off to buy some 40-volt. I told you I bought the battery-powered chainsaw.
Yes.
I just never thought I would do that. Unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. I imagine you got to keep the blade sharp. But it just, I'm talking about 6-inch limbs. Boom, done. Like cheese.
Very
pretty great.
Nice.
Yeah, very nice indeed.
Yeah, it's amazing.
So let's see, I don't know. I don't want to risk cutting short. So we'll chatter at the end of this, take calls if we had to. But I wanted to read this one thing. I came across this by accident, perhaps. Maybe it was Destiny. But I'm just going to read straight through it here. This is a tip of the week from November 18th of 2006. And it says, this week's tip comes from our home appreciation file. This coming week, we celebrated, actually just behind us, we celebrated Thanksgiving. So it seems appropriate to talk about activities that focus on home appreciation. To help, we've assembled a list of things you can do to help with your home's appreciation. Before you start on the honey-do list, take a minute to remember that while there may be many hassles in home ownership, it's all still a blessing that many people cannot afford. Talk to a neighbor or friend and listen to what they're working on. Offer to give a helping hand. Number three, volunteer in some activity to support the homeless. Number four, take the money you've set aside for a home improvement and give some amount to the charity of your choice. Number five, take time with your family. Love and appreciate them because they are the difference between a house and a home. Number six, if your parents are still living, call them. Tell them you appreciate them and the sacrifices they made for you. If you don't think that they made any sacrifices for you, then postpone this particular act until you have children of your own. I guarantee your opinion will change. Number seven, when you offer holiday greetings to your friends and family, wish them a happy Thanksgiving, not a happy turkey day. The day is about Thanksgiving. To focus on the turkey is to focus on the least fortunate participant in the festivities. Number eight, take a few minutes on Thursday to say a prayer of Thanksgiving. If you don't believe in God, then take a minute to be thankful for the amazing abilities you have and all the great things that you have done to be in the current fortunate situation in which you find yourself. God will know what you mean. And number nine, remember that the most important home improvement is the one that makes your home a happier place to live in. All right, we've heard that before. David and I are grateful for the things and the radio show and the website that we're allowed to do, and we hope this Thanksgiving has been a time of peace and blessing in your house. So there. And I didn't time that perfectly, but I'd say that's a good list. Yeah,
it's good stuff. Still relevant.
I think 15 years later, 16 years later, whatever it is, still very relevant. Perhaps more relevant now than ever before. As we watch some crazy things going on in our world. Always, always, always room for gratitude, no matter what. So good deal. We're screaming into the holiday season. My sense is, because I'm getting old, but my sense is that this one's just going to go screaming by us since there's so much going on. We're still adjusting to different things, trying to get back to, you know, to live in some kind of normal life post-COVID and so on. So look, take whatever time you need to kind of get your head straight each morning or whatever. And like, don't sweat the small stuff. And when we're talking about some of these things, it's all small stuff, right? So anyway, at the risk of sounding redundant, you are listening to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. David, I speak for you when I say we're super grateful for all the listeners that we had these many, many years we've had to do this. Truly enjoyable. And we do truly believe that the most important kind of home improvement that you can make is the one that makes your home a happier place to live in. So get ready for the holiday season. Get ready to celebrate with friends and family. But don't forget to work on that project. And we'll see you next week when we return to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave.